country. This house should be burned. That'll get you out.
2.5 weeks after Brian Laundrie supposedly set off into the Florida swamp, the pressure isn't letting up. In fact, it is building by the day. But manhunt or not, the fugitive has his cheerleaders. And the insults and attacks on Gabby Petito are as close as your laptop. Hello and welcome to Banfield. It was a month ago today, Brian Laundrie showed up back in Florida without his fiance and cross-country travel mate. And in that time, the disappearance and death of Gabby Petito and the manhunt for Brian Laundrie have mesmerized the nation and a few other nations too. Overwhelmingly, that attention has been supportive, sympathetic, loving towards Gabby and her grieving family, and much, much less towards the Laundries. However, and that is a big however, supporters of Brian Laundrie have set up camp for themselves on Reddit and Twitter and Facebook, and you might not be shocked to learn that many of the views they're expressing are, well, shocking. We're going to shed some light on that dark corner of the web this hour, but I want to start with the manhunt and an inconsistency, shall we say, that just came to light today. It involves Brian Laundrie's sister, Cassie, and an interview she gave to ABC 2 weeks ago. At the time, she said, quote, she hadn't been able to talk to Brian, who at that point had been back in Florida for more than 2 weeks. But today, the family's own lawyer clarified something very different to our reporter, Brian Enten. And I also want you to hear more tonight from that newly released body cam footage of Gabby and Brian's police stop in Moab, Utah. Whether it was one stressed morning or a snapshot of their true relationship, it is simply impossible to turn away. And when you hear Gabby's voice in the new light that we now know, that she did not survive, it is quite breathtaking. Brian Enten joins me live once again. Brian, let's talk about the significance of Brian Laundrie's sister, Cassie, because on the 17th of September, she gave an interview to ABC, and she said those words that she hadn't been able to talk to her brother. Walk me through why this is so interesting now.
So first of all, Ashley, I want to say that we have all been trying to talk to Cassie Laundrie. We all tried to interview her. The only person she talked to was ABC News. And when she did that interview last month, she said that she hadn't talked to her brother. And ABC News reported she had not talked to her brother since he returned to Florida without Gabby. So that was what we were sort of under the assumption of for the last several weeks. Well, now we have learned from the Laundrie family attorney, Mr. Bertolino. According to him, he says that that is not the case, that Cassie has actually seen her brother two times. The first time on September 1st, when the attorney says that Brian went to Cassie's house and met with her. And the second time is September 6th, when Mr. Bertolino says Cassie was at that campground where Brian and his parents were, Fort DeSoto, where the entire family was having a campout.
All right. So in that light, Brian, I want to play that really significant piece of Cassie's interview. Here's the rub. I can't find anywhere online. All of our producers have looked everywhere online through ABC's websites for the actual transcript and the actual raw interview. There are pieces and snippets, and I'm going to play you the snippet. There is no question from the reporter included, so I can't give you that. But here is the reporter who asked questions of Cassie Laundrie on the 17th of September. And this was her answer about not having been able to talk to her brother. Take a look.
I haven't been able to talk to him. I wish I could talk to him. And I've cooperated every way that I can. I wish I had information or I would give more. This is all I have is I gave to the police.
Okay, so Brian, the statement that Steve Bertolino, the family lawyer, gave to you was two-part. We had just showed that first part that said Cassie saw her brother, Brian, on September 1st when he stopped by her home, and again on September 6th at Fort DeSoto Park. And then it went on to say this: law enforcement agencies are well aware of these dates. Any prior communication by Cassie that does not reflect these dates is simply a difference of relating an answer to a question misinterpreted by Cassie or poorly posed by the inquirer. So we're now to take the words of Cassie, which are, I haven't been able to talk to him. I wish I could talk to him, as either a bad question from the reporter or a confused answer from Cassie. Either way, I don't know how much more clear. I haven't been able to talk to him, but she was with him on the 1st and she was with him on the 6th.
And what's important to point out, Ashley, is you played that clip from Cassie, but in the ABC Good Morning America piece, again, the only news outlet that actually spoke to Cassie, the reporter before that soundbite said that Cassie had not seen her brother since he had come back from his trip and been back in Florida. So that is what ABC News is reporting. You mentioned it. We've been trying to get the transcript. I mean, we would love to see the raw interview and be able to sort of go through it ourselves. Also, I would have loved to interview Cassie myself. We've tried. Other news outlets have tried. Well, we're basing this on ABC News reporting, and now the lawyer is saying that that is not actually the case.
So in all of this scrutiny, Brian, I think we found something else that's a bit troubling. And this is going to take some thinking. So folks at home, put on your timeline hat. That interview was given on September 17th. That is a Thursday. 2 days before that interview, Brian apparently vanished. So Brian has now been gone for 2 days. And it isn't until the next day that the Laundries are going to tell the police this. But let's just think for a moment. Mr. and Mrs. Laundry have not seen their son for one night, and for two nights, they never called the sister to say, has he gone to your house? He didn't come home from the swamp. Now, with that as the context, I want to play this next piece of that interview because, and I'm going to have to read the question for you because otherwise it's a little hard to hear it from the reporter. But the reporter said, and when you just heard the news that in general that she's missing and that your brother is back here, and Cassie answers. So now let's watch that clip. And remember, her brother has been missing for 2 days, okay? That's when this interview is being taken. Take a look.
And when you just heard the news, just in general, like that she's missing and that your brother's back here.
I don't understand as much as everybody else. I'm learning everything from the news, too.
Brian, that is very troubling. Nobody knew at that point that Brian Laundry had been on the run for 2 days. And I'm to assume that the sister doesn't know either. Mom and dad aren't worried enough about where Brian is spending his nights that they don't call her and say, is he at your house? Are we really to believe that this woman is telling the truth when she says, and let me be clear here, the question was, and when you heard the news that just in general, she's missing and your brother is back here, I don't understand. As much as everybody else, I'm learning from the news. This is really disquieting.
Well, and let's take a step back even farther here, Ashley, because I was thinking about this for the last couple of hours. The lawyer is now admitting that the sister, Cassie, had Brian over the house on September 1st and then was at the campground on the camping trip. So weren't they all discussing where is Gabby? I mean, the sister was there with Brian two times, according to the attorney. I mean, how did this, were there conversations? Did this come up? Brian, my brother, you have come back and your fiance is not here and you have her van? I don't quite understand that part of it.
And I love her and my children love her. And boy, I hope she comes back. I find it all very, I don't know. I have an expression that I use, and that is I smell a rat. I just do not like any of this. This just reeks of reporter instinct that jumps into overdrive when you hear people speaking like that, knowing of the circumstances now that we didn't know then. Okay, Brian, the other thing I wanted to do is I wanted to play, a collection of that 1 hour brand new body cam of Gabby Petito out in Moab. Look, we're not going to play an hour tonight, but we really went through it to put together the most telling moments where Gabby in her own voice tells us what she's thinking and feeling. So let's play that. I want to ask you something about it on the other side.
What's your name?
Gabby,
how old are you?
I'm 22.
What happened? What's going on?
I'm just having a very stressed morning.
Yeah? Is this your husband or boyfriend?
My fiance.
Fiance. Is he a pretty good guy?
Yeah. I was just apologizing. I was like, I'm sorry that I get so stressed out because I have OCD and I'm just like organizing stuff. And sometimes I just have a mean attitude, but I'm not trying to be mean about straightening things up and stuff. So I was just apologizing, but I guess I said it in like a mean tone and he got really frustrated with me and he locked me out of the car and told me to go take a breather, but I didn't want to take a breather because I wanted to get going. We're out of water, and then I told him to drive and get water because I'm getting thirsty.
Yeah? Is there something on your cheek here? Looks like, did you get hit in the face? Kind of looks like something like hit you in the face. And then over on your arm, shoulder, right here. That's new, huh? It's kind of a new mark.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Can I see the other side of your face? So, what happened here and here?
I'm not sure. It was a... I was just trying to get in the back of the car and the backpack got me back.
So the backpack got you? So there's two people that came to us and told us that they saw him hit you. There's two people saying that they saw him punch you. We're just independent witnesses by Moonflower.
Well, to be honest, I definitely hit him first.
Where'd you hit him?
I slapped him.
You slapped him first? And then what, just on his face?
He kept telling me to shut up.
How many times did you slap him?
Romeo, India, Alpha.
Just a couple.
And then what? And his reaction was to do what?
Yeah, I didn't slap him.
He just grabbed you?
Yeah.
Did he hit you though? I mean, it's okay if you're saying you hit him, and then I understand if he hit you, but we want to know the truth if he actually hit you.
Because, you know. I guess, yeah, but I hit him first.
Where did he hit you? Don't worry, just be honest.
He, like, grabbed my face, like, I guess. He didn't, like, hit me in the face. Like, he didn't, like, punch me in the face or anything.
Did he slap your face or what?
Well, like, he, like, grabbed me, like, with his nail, and I guess that's why it looks like, I definitely have a cut right here, like, a peel it.
Yeah.
Touch it burns.
So they're going to consider him the victim, so they're going to get him a hotel, though. So he wants you so that you don't have to go to jail, because the only thing we can do is take you to jail. He says, well, so she doesn't have to go to jail, then I will accept Sea Haven's help if they'll give me a hotel, and then she can have the van so she doesn't have to go to jail. She can just have a ticket. When you get the ticket, it's going to give you a phone number to call, and they're going to give you a court date, and that court date will probably be online.
I have to come back to Utah?
No, it'll be online.
Oh.
You have a smartphone?
Yeah.
So you can. I go to court. You're okay.
Sorry, I've never heard of this. I didn't know. Yeah.
When COVID happened, they switched all the court from in person to online. So when I go to court now,
I have a ticket for hitting the curb and something, please, because we're okay. Like, we're just.
I understand, but we don't have any, like. Listen, if I had any discretion in this, I would separate you guys for the day and just give you warnings to stop hitting each other.
Please. No, but I don't want to be separated.
You gonna have anxiety?
Yeah, no, we're a team, please.
There's no us? What is it?
No, like, we're a team, please. It's gonna give me so much anxiety. Can we just have like a driving ticket?
Okay, the very best thing I can do is call my supervisor and see if I'm missing something here.
Because I'll pay any driving ticket, a parking ticket, anything.
Okay, Gabby, try to calm down and I'm gonna go call a supervisor. But I don't think that there's much I can do, but let me see if the supervisor can tell me something I'm missing to make this not happen.
I can't feel motivated, and I couldn't handle that. I'm sorry.
You know, Brian, I look at that, and it just... there's really no description that does that justice. Heartbreaking is barely even scratching the surface. But does this change anything in this investigation, in this manhunt, in the potential down the road charges, trial, anything like that?
Look, I mean, this is day 17 for me covering this this whole case, and I texted you this last night. I mean, that video I find to be the saddest thing that I have seen since all of this began. It is so heartbreaking to think about Gabby and the situation she was in. I would imagine this is going to be part of the investigation. The FBI has obviously already reviewed these videos. But, I mean, you said it. There's no other word other than just heartbreaking.
Because up until that video, we'd seen these videos, and she just looked so happy on this trip. She just, you know, seemed to love this journey and roughing it, and you know, all of this. This is a very different young lady from that video. I'm going to switch gears only because I said it off the top of the show, Brian, and you see it every day. The protesters are out all the time, but there was one today who kind of went next level. I just want to play a bit of that. Take a look.
Is this your...
I flew from Hershey to be here. And they're just sitting there, peeking out their windows. Well, I'm dirty. Very soothing. Very soothing. Dirty laundry. This house should be burned. That'll get you out.
So that was pretty aggressive, a woman who said she flew from Pennsylvania. I do know that she has a YouTube channel. A lot of critics are saying she was doing this for publicity. She also, back in 2018, was on Instagram Live making fun of Shanann Watts and her children, the pregnant woman from Colorado who was murdered by Chris Watts and those two children who were murdered by their father and stuffed into oil wells and oil tanks. So for what that's worth. But other than that, it's good news to hear of the reward money that's out there, Brian, that there are a lot of people responding to Gabby and the search for Brian.
Yeah, and I just want to address that woman that you just brought up because I've been getting some heat on Twitter. I posted a video of her earlier. Look, I'm out there all the time outside the house. There are people that come throughout the day, and I go and I get video of everything happening outside that house. You know that. That's what we've been doing for weeks. I had no idea who she is. I knew nothing about her past. There are all sorts of characters out there. Look, we're in this to tell the story and to be respectful to the family. And there are obviously people showing up looking for attention. And there are times that it's like a circus-like atmosphere. But, you know, I just wanted to put out there, you know, we're out there shooting everything that happens. And I didn't know who this lady was.
Well, don't shoot the messenger, right? I mean, Brian, if I could tell you that kinds of characters that showed up at the Michael Jackson trial, I mean, doves being released, just your job is to transport people to that I keep calling it the little yellow bungalow, and that is what you're seeing. And if the circus is the circus, it's because of what's been happening at the center of the story, and that currently the center of the story is that little yellow bungalow. Brian, thank you. 17 days. You haven't had a break, and so thank you for all the work that you've been doing. Really appreciate it. And Luis, your cameraman, too. He's done
great.
Thanks,
Ashley. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Ash.
Brian Enten reporting for us tonight. Man, do you try living out of your car on stakeout for 17 days? That's what Brian Enten has been doing. Straight ahead. I can't even believe I'm telling this story, but you know what? For the last 10 years, I've seen it coming. Brian Laundrie, his online cheering section. Although cheer, not really exactly the feeling that they inspire. I'm going to introduce you next. Need to point out that you can find every form of human expression on the internet, but I do want to draw your attention to a corner of the web where Brian Laundrie is apparently a victim, even a hero. And Gabby Petito, let's remind everyone that she's dead, is, let's just say, not so kindly viewed. On Reddit, especially, but also on Twitter and Facebook, you will see that BLM, usually Black Lives Matter, now stands for Brian Laundrie Matters. And isn't he a victim of violence too? One Reddit user asks. Another likens Laundrie to O.J. Simpson, who in this telling is innocent and urges, run, Brian, run. Another says if Gabby had been treated like a, quote, man that August day in Moab, she'd have been arrested and, quote, still be alive. I think we can pretty much debate every single one of those comments. And by the way, those aren't the really ugly ones. Want to talk about these posts and some of the worst ones and the venom behind much of them with Cameron Caskey. He survived the 2018 shooting massacre at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. He's now a gun control advocate. We're also joined by Chris Mohandi, who's a clinical police forensic psychologist and also the author of Evil Thoughts, Wicked Deeds. Gentlemen, thank you both for being here. Chris, let me begin with you, the psychology, because I think the first question we all have is, what? How is it that you can have such a tragic story with a tragic outcome, with a family grieving the loss of their beautiful daughter, and she's the problem? How is it?
You know, cyberspace is a massive universe, and everything that's possible in this universe is out there. There are people with all kinds of different viewpoints. And when you have the anonymity of sitting behind a keyboard somewhere in the basement or some other place, and you're not up front with the people that you're hurting, it disinhibits people to be able to say things that they otherwise might not say. And people that don't have any impulse control, that have no respect for others, who are very dysfunctional, have a place where their, I hate to say it, pathetic and mean-spirited bullying voices can be heard and be given a forum for that and gain approval from other like-minded individuals. It's amazing and disturbing at the same time that you can have those viewpoints represented, but they're out there, and even worse.
Yeah, and Cameron, I mean, you're the firsthand witness to this after, you know, going through what you went through at that school shooting. You were attacked. I mean, they turned their attention to you. Tell me what the experience was like.
Trolls are bad. I think a lot of people agree with that. Trolls are awful. They have followed me to some very, very crazy places. They have swatted me. They have put my face on illicit images that I would never share with anybody. They have created fan accounts for the person who shot up my school. But in my opinion, the worst thing the trolls are doing here is distracting from the real issue, which is the fact that this entire case and the media circus that has followed it is all about the systemic racism within our country. I know folks don't like to talk about it. I know that people want to talk about this specific case. But the truth is, Americans consume trauma content the way Kyrsten Sinema consumes wine. Americans love it. It's all they talk about, specifically when it's white people being harmed, which is why the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas is not unlike this current situation. The media coverage was because we were white. I can promise you from the bottom of my heart, if Marjorie Stoneman Douglas were a school that was not predominantly white in an affluent community, it would not have received the same coverage. And you see that when black and brown indigenous women are going missing all over the country and these things don't get reported. What happened with Gabby was tragic, awful, and we need to solve this case. We need to bring her killer to justice. But what we really need to look at here is how many women go missing and the stories are not told. And it is very, very clear that it is a race issue and it is a policing issue. The police, the degree to which they're able to solve these missing cases is so remarkably low, especially with women of color. A man, I read
so
about a man recently.
If I can, Cameron, I don't have a lot of time to go to another topic. This segment and why you were booked was to talk about the trolling and how this is a very new phenomenon. I've been a journalist for 33 years. This never happened as I was your age, Cameron. This has only happened in the last 10 years. And it's something that I think our viewers really want to understand. And I think they'd be outraged by it because you yourself, having been victimized at Parkland, being re-victimized over and over by these people, I find it repulsive. So, Chris, walk me through who these people are. I keep hearing about incels who are going after Gabby, the victim who died in this story. I hear about angry, people who feel dejected in life, who've decided to turn their attention on, for whatever reason, victims of crime. Walk me through why they've picked victims to double victimize.
You know, these are people that have, to say the least, a lot of issues, deep-seated feelings of inadequacy, a feeling of powerlessness, a hunger, you know, for notoriety at any cost, at anybody's expense, as a way of lifting them out of their sense of inadequacy, their sense of powerlessness. This is the dynamic of bullies and narcissists, people who are egotistical, need validation, and will get it and seek it at anybody's expense. So the internet, cyberspace, is a unique opportunity to pursue it at other people's expense with little feedback or direct consequences to them. They can do it with impunity and get these bursts of short-term gain where there's a feeling of power. Ha, I got you. I had the last word. You know, I put somebody down. And it's a really dysfunctional way of building oneself up. And there's a lot of damaged people out there who need that, who crave that, who have modeled that, you know, kind of gotcha mentality in our society of, you know, dominating, winning at other people's expense. And underneath a lot of it is a, you know, an unhealthy amount of sadism. You know, and sadism is about dominance, control, and hurting other people and deriving pleasure from that. So I think that there's a lot going on, but it says a lot about these people and a universe where they can get what they want in these bursts, you know, when they are attacking people, when they're engaging in this troll behavior.
It makes me wonder if it all existed before, or if there's some dynamic in our society now that has really just sort of brought it to a boil. I'm going to pause for a second. Cameron, thank you so much for being with me. I have to fit in a quick break. But when I come back, I want to talk about policing these forums, how hard it is for the forums themselves to do the policing. And I want to talk a little bit about what some of the things that are being said are. We're back right after this. It's hard to believe after covering the story of Gabby Petito and the hunt for Brian Laundrie that we would discover all of this cruelty online, not towards Brian, the man who is on the run, let's not forget, is a fugitive from justice, let's not forget, who decided to just drive Gabby Petito's van back to Florida without Gabby, who was lying dead in the desert. Let's not forget. No, we found loads of supporters for that guy. That guy. And so I want to read for you a couple of things that we, you know, dug up. If you're, you know, sensitive, you better turn the volume down, is all I can say. So a couple of folks in these forums said, Brian will be remembered more than Gabby. Isn't he a victim of violence, too? Baselessly, they question whether Petito maybe just died of COVID. That's probably it. That's why it takes, what, 12, 13 days now to get a cause of death. Then there was the groups who said that Brian's just misunderstood and that he's being unfairly maligned. That's another one. Brian Laundrie is a victim of domestic abuse who is being unfairly maligned. Here's a good one. Did Gabby assault Brian because he was Hispanic? I don't even know where to begin on that one. There is the user who decides to call Gabby Flabby Gabby. There's the user that calls her a white supremacist. Again, I don't even know where to go there. And I already mentioned the one that said, run, Brian, run. Still with me is Chris Mahondes, PhD, forensic psychologist. He's worked for the LAPD as a threat assessment expert. I still can't wrap my head around it. When I found out that Shanann Watts, her family, has been mercilessly trolled since Shanann was killed, murdered by her husband, Chris Watts, those two children of hers, she was pregnant, by the way, those two children of hers murdered by their dad and stuffed into oil tanks. It's Shanann's family who has spent the last 4 years trying to get the trolls off their backs. I just wonder if they've always been there. Have they always been there, Chris, and now we're just seeing it because you can type and you can publish? Or are we an angrier, more screwed up America?
I think it's probably in all of the above, Ashley. I think there's always been people with dysfunctional ideas and a tendency to go for conspiracy theories or to root for the so-called underdog. But until the advent of, you know, an instant community you know, that goes worldwide in relative anonymity, you didn't have the ability to get a bunch of people high-fiving you for these kinds of ideas. Once we have people online in on social media, you can get validation for just about anything as extreme and dysfunctional as you can imagine. So I think it's they've been there, but we're seeing more of them because communities can be created virtually to support, accept, and encourage anything, which is why there's so much needs to be regulation of what goes on in these social media platforms. These people need to be shut down. And, there's no value
as we see these images, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the picture's on the screen. And let's be clear that, Gabby Petito admitted to having, hit and slapped Brian as well. But he's not dead and she's not on the run. So there's a huge difference. So those who are so myopic as to say these things, like he's a victim, when he's on the run as a fugitive from justice currently, and she is dead in a coroner's office for 2 weeks. Quick question, and I just need a quick answer if you can. The word incel, involuntary celibate, that's something that's starting to become part of our vernacular. Give me like 30 seconds on what it actually means and who these guys are.
I missed the question. Could you repeat it real quick?
Yeah, the word incel, I-N-C-E-L, it stands for the involuntary celibate. And apparently they've got quite a little community online where they really are filled with misogyny and hate and attack women every chance they get, including Gabby Petito. Who are they?
Yeah, these are angry, disaffected men who hate women and believe that they're entitled to have any kind of relationship of dominance related to women. They are a very potentially dangerous group of people. The guy that shot up Santa Barbara, I don't even want to mention his name. He is considered a hero within the incel so-called movement. This is a group of really angry, dysfunctional men who don't have any basis for understanding how it is you relate to the opposite sex, you know, from a platform of equality, from a platform of respect, and they are very disrespectful, angry, entitled people who, we have to watch this group very carefully within the field of law enforcement.
So here's what I just want to say as we wrap this up. The Gabby Petito hashtag has had 1.2 billion views on TikTok, and those Reddit users, the Friends of Brian, 1,200 members, and the Brian Laundrie Reddit members, 2,800. So I think when you're starting to feel really lousy about, there you go, right? Let's just wrap it up to say there are a lot fewer of them than there are of us. Chris Mohanty, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're talking to a Florida sheriff on what it means to be inside the search radius for the most famous wanted man in America. That's next. Oh, to be a fly on the wall of a police department in Florida tonight, the way I imagine it. Officers are either hard at work on the manhunt for Brian Laundrie in that state, or they're on a break talking about the manhunt for Brian Laundrie in that state. Take a look at the map of that state. County by county, this is Florida. In red on the west coast is Sarasota County, where the city of Northport is located. And, of course, the Laundrie little yellow bungalow. But the big money says that Brian Laundrie likely fled Sarasota anywhere up to 2 weeks ago at this point. It's a good thing I've got a Florida sheriff joining me tonight from Volusia County. It's Sheriff Mike Chitwood. You can see his county in green, well within a reasonable search radius for Brian Laundrie. And also with us is former NYPD detective Tom Ruskin, who's president of CMP Protective and Investigation Group. They are here for tonight's special edition of Policing in America, which, of course, here we are finding police doing something, that happens every so often, a manhunt that is known about coast to coast. So, Sheriff Chitwood, I want to begin with you because Florida is, it's a big state. And I imagined that police detachments talk to each other all over the place. Sheriff's divisions all speak. When you've got a guy who's on the run and you don't know if he went north, south, east or west, I think he could have gone west. But how do you guys communicate and how much sharing of information is there between you?
Yeah, Ashley, first of all, thanks for having me tonight. My blood pressure is up 9 million points since watching your last segment. We have a thing called Central Florida Intelligence Exchange, where all the sheriffs and police departments around the state constantly share information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Any tip that comes in, it's vetted through the state and through the federal government. So all the resources are to bear. I do want to say one thing, Ashley, and I know we have a lot of time, but you know, we're discussing what happened in the back of the patrol car when they were interviewing the victim in this case. Classic domestic violence. This guy was controlling her. The fact that she had anxiety and didn't want to be left alone, that's the classic sign of an abused woman. And he was in her head. And flight is a consciousness of guilt in the courts of law in America. And I call on his family to do the right thing and stop being scumbags. Your son's a murderer. Let's get him in and let's do what we have to do.
I think, you know, that opinion is shared by a lot of people here. As a journalist, I got to say, gosh, he hasn't been charged with that yet. He's a fleeing fugitive from a bank fraud charge of an FBI. It's a national, it's federal charge. But I think a lot of people feel if he's caught that the charges with regard to Gabby's death aren't far behind. Tom Ruskin, jump in on that. The whole notion of it being an investigator. The rest of us out here, you know, don't know how you guys do this. We just assume you fan out and you just start, you know, looking with gumshoe footwork and then, you know, with your fingertips tapping away on a keyboard. But how much more is there to finding someone who's now been on the run for more than 2 weeks?
Well, it makes it a little bit more difficult, but there's also, as we've discussed before, breadcrumb types of trails. And as the sheriff alluded to, you know, law enforcement agencies, federal, state, local, and municipalities are now talking to each other and sharing this information in real time. And the trail will get less and less and less, and eventually they'll catch Brian wherever he is in the world, and they will bring him to justice in the bank fraud and potentially, if he's charged in the Gabby Petito case, in the Gabby Petito murder.
So, Sheriff Chitwood, this, you've seen those pictures. I'm not sure if you've got the return pictures there, but the swamp buggies going through the Miyakahatchee Creek Environmental Park, better known as the reserve. The rest of us out here watching this story thought, he's not there. The parents told you to go there. Why would they spend upwards of $1.56 million searching there based on the word of those parents who've been less than forthcoming in this story? There has to be more to it. Do you think there is?
We follow every lead, Ashley, every single lead. And I think what the important thing to realize here is, you know, there are 67 sheriffs in the state of Florida. We share every resource, whether you're a large agency or a small agency, whatever equipment we have, it gets directed into that area. And it would be remiss of us, even though we know the parents are lying, somewhere in there may be a breadcrumb of truth that may lead us to the next step.
1.6 million reasons why I do not necessarily believe that he's there. And that's a lot of money that the taxpayers of your state are going to be absorbing, unless they determine that there is something there and that the parents were not forthcoming. Then they'll get stuck with the tab. And maybe that house, when you sell it, would bring that money in. I don't know.
You know, Ashley, sometimes in a lie, there is a morsel of truth. And that's why you have to follow it.
Yeah. Boy, I hope in this case it leads to, you know, some justice for Gabby. After the break, I'm going to do some day progressions on Brian Laundrie's look. We did it last night. It's worth doing it again. What he might look like after 17 days on the run in the sun without a razor. That's coming up next. Okay, so after 17 days on the run, I don't know what you'd look like without a razor, but we had Lois Gibson on the program last night. She's the most successful sketch artist, forensic sketch artist in the world, the Guinness World Record holder, in fact. And she said what she thought he might look like, and we showed it in terms of what the beard and the hair growth might look like. Take a peek.
He is going to get a lot of sun. He's going to lose weight. I don't care how much money he has. If you're on the run for murder, it's hard to eat. It degrades your life. I've seen murderers after they got caught. He also should shave completely. His signature mustache and beard should just go. he's going to get too much sun because he probably is doing a survival thing and he probably doesn't carry a gallon of sunscreen.
Okay, so I lied. There was supposed to be a beard progression there. We didn't see it. I'm sorry about that. But you can see the many faces of Brian Laundry, sometimes clean shaven and sometimes with a robust beard. So question, Tom, what are the odds that he just might be hiding among us? Because he's kind of nondescript.
He very possibly could be hiding among us. He could have gotten out of the country. I mean, there's been rumors that he could be in Mexico, and there's been leads that send him to Mexico. He could be on the Appalachian Trail. There's been many leads in North Carolina on the Appalachian Trail where they're asking people along the trail, have they seen him, or looking at deer cameras to see if he passes one of the cameras and potentially could be identified that way.
So, Sheriff Chitwood, this is a question that's a little bit more existential, but it's important nonetheless. How do you think this is going to end?
You know, that's a great question. Clearly, he's a coward. Clearly, he abuses women. Clearly, he's a mommy's boy, and they are allowing him to hide. You know, he's not going to fight it out with the cops. That's not going to happen. He doesn't have a weapon. My hope and my prayer, and I know it's a wrong hope and a wrong prayer, is that mommy and daddy need to do the right thing. Your son is a murderer. Face the facts and let him face justice and give this family the closure that they need. I implore them, do the right thing.
Sheriff Chitwood, I always love having you on. I do have to say he hasn't been charged with that yet. Gabby, gosh, we don't even know her cause of death yet. It's taking a long time. I think they're doing their jobs there at the Jackson,
but,
you know, coroner.
But Ashley,
office,
but her death was ruled
I got 10
homicide.
Seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, her death
yes,
was ruled
that is
homicide.
True. That is true, but we got to get that cause of death because I've seen so many trials sink on that cause of death, and it's so frustrating. I just want to give you guys big props and thanks. Tom Ruskin, always great to see you. Mike Chitwood, love seeing you. I'm glad to see you're back on the mend, and thank you for being here on this Friday night, guys.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, everyone, as well, for being here tonight. It's been nice to have you here. We'll see you right back here on Monday as we continue to cover the story of Brian Laundry. And stay with News Nation because we will watch this throughout the weekend as well. We'll see you right back here on Monday night. Have a great weekend.